Let me just get these boys. They can't miss a sermon about them. Gavin, I hope you're happy that I look a bit better, and the shoes are back on, socks and everything else. All right. We'll just take a few moments until they come out. Huh? I hope these two guys are wearing suits, because I had to put on a suit. Huh? Yeah. Oh, there we go. We can start. We're going to start. All right. Very good. My title this morning is a life worthy of the gospel, living in the spirit of Christ. These times we live in and listen to or watch on the media, I don't know if you notice, but it's a time of war and a time of peace. It's a time of life and it's a time of death. We experience and we're confronted so much with just that short duration of a week. So much for our mind to process. So I ask you all today, where did your mind journey this week? What political or ideologies were you involved at that your mind had to deal with it? Where did your mind dwell in your quiet times? Where did it dwell in the times of craziness? What did you watch on TV? Or more specifically, what did you look at in your phone this week? What was your mind exposed to? And more importantly, how did that impact your spirit and your journey with Christ? That very spirit that unites us to Him. On my recent holiday to Malta, my spirit was challenged. Funny that. You go away on a holiday and bang, you're under spiritual attack. Allow me to paint a picture of this spiritual challenge that happened to me in colors and symbols on the canvas of all your minds. And perhaps stepped into my shoes to grasp this understanding of an attempt to darken the very existence of my spirit, which is in Christ. It started off with me being confronted with a hotel that was deliberately painted black, with decadent gold rim, black Italian marble everywhere on the floors and on the walls, silver statues looking down on you. You could call it a lavish hotel. But as the days unfolded on my holiday, I found this darkness was the very representative of the island I came to visit. Allow me to explain this. Your thoughts, your ideas, your words, which you paint in conversation with people, are the representation of yourself, their spirit or purpose. The spirit can be good, it can be bad, it can be dark or just full of light, or it can be damaging, or it can be helpful. The island I visited was Malta, and it was full of major historical events, this island, from the pre-flood Neolithic temples to the 4th century church father Augustine. And the bay I stayed in was ironically called St. Julian, named after Augustine's son. A son from a marriage that Augustine should never have had according to his mother. The darkness on my spirit was a representation of Malta, that very island that Paul was shipwrecked on when he was en route to Rome. And what was the first thing that happened to Paul, as declared in Acts 28? He was greeted by people, he was brought to a lovely fire, and then a snake bit him. Okay, a snake did not bite me. But fortunately, throughout the whole island, we were confronted with a celebration of death and symbols of snakes. Painted skulls as an example on tombs that decorated the pro-cathedral. 490 tombs, to be precise, and it covered the whole church. I couldn't see Christ. I was looking around. I just couldn't see it. But I saw a celebration of man more intensely. Or the celebration of the masterpiece of the beheading of St. John the Baptist by the Italian artist Caravaggio in the same church. And this was a really dark picture. It was huge. It took a whole wall up. And people were brought there to show how man falls. But my inside was going, where's the light? Where's the light? So it continues. Ancient tombs and stories of giants that were back in the pre-Diluvian period, which is, in other words, just before the flood. These temples were just covered with snake iconography. And these ancient temples were not worshipping the true Almighty God either. So more negative energy, more spiritual loss. Listen to this. In the tourism literature, the island boasts 10,000 tombs for people to visit. As if this is normal. Come to the island destination that is built on the tombs of the dead. My heart sunk. I was under attack. However, because of this constant attack, I never had such a beautiful understanding of what it was to shine. What it was to be a light in a dark place. A time of much needed prayer. A time for a shipwrecked soul, just like Paul, to cry out, Father. Then we came to Paul's cave, where he was locked up for 3 months. The spiritual embracing from this cave was unbelievable. I could breathe again. It was of right spirit. It was full of spiritual light. Why? Because it was Christ focused. Like the hotel I stayed in, there was a church that was built literally on top of this cave. But again, it was adorned with white marble and lavish gold. And again, with more skulls. You could say the church was opposite in outward meaning to Paul's cave. The church was again a celebration of man. Yet the cave was bare. There was only one light in it, and that was a small lantern just to light up the cave itself. Paul's cave, where he was locked up in, had one purpose. He was the light in a dark place that worshipped the Lord. Paul was a captive that inspired a Roman general on the island through the Holy Spirit to become a Christian. Think about that for a moment. So in today's sermon, I want you to see your spirit. And not the one that we decorate with a bit of gold. And just as Tom and Enoch got baptized, what is the spirit we need to imitate and follow? In suffering, as well as joy. Yes, suffering too. Paul was in the cave, yet he was the light that shined out of that island. Tom and Enoch, just like the rest of the sinners present here today, when we are in the Spirit of Christ, we are that light that lighthouse that's trying to guide lost sinners back to the safe shores of Christ's kingdom. The verse that inspired this thought was Philippians 2, 1-8, and imitating Christ, as Michael has just read. But what are we imitating in Christ but the Spirit? And I want to unfold this morning. And I want to focus on a particular part of what Michael read, Philippians 2, 1-2. And then apply it to these two gentlemen, Tom and Enoch, as how they are obedient to the Lord by completing the commandment of baptism. So before going into the scripture of imitating Christ, let's step back a second and go into chapter 1 of Philippians, and more specifically verses 27-30, as this sets the tone for Philippians 2, 1-2, and the verses that follow. Sometimes we need to bear in mind that when all these books that we have, these Bibles, were written, they were all written back to back. There was no chapters. There was no verses. This is a relatively new edition. But we need to ask ourselves this morning, in chapter 2, it opens up with a therefore, or in some of your Bibles, it may say so. Let's understand what this therefore is all about. So let's read with me. We're going to go back into chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 29, and we'll start to unpack this. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to you believe in him, but also suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So there's two parts I want you to take from this passage. The words, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, you're probably thinking, that's great, Les, but how do I do this? Well, it said it in the text. By standing firm in one Spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, but not being frightened in any way. So, one Spirit united for the faith of the gospel in a fearless manner. Or having unity in Christ and the gospel, then I'll have no fear to those that oppose me. Tom and Enoch have made an amazing statement to the world today. I'm on Christ's side. I'm for eternal life, and nothing will oppose me if I'm in Christ. We only stand firm when we have a foundation and a purpose and a uniting goal. The gospel gives us this cornerstone in Christ, this great foundation. The purpose is being united in Christ. But our goal is the great commandment in Matthew 28, 19-20. And it's so fitting with two baptisms today. Listen to these words. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Our goal is to tell the world about this most amazing thing that these two gentlemen have been through. This thing that's transformed their lives. Given us that light that shines as the grace from Christ. Paul prayed in a cave deep underground in Malta. And his oppressor, namely this Roman general, becomes a Christian. Above ground. And he was staying in this most lavish of places, far from the cave. You can imagine the interaction between these two. Paul's spirit filled with strength and just overcome a shipwreck and a snake bite, but nothing could stop him. This is the power of the Spirit we all bear. The text goes on and says, should not be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. This Roman general's sin was destroyed. He died to his old ways, just as his brother, or our brothers here, Tom and Enoch, died to their old ways under the water. The exact picture in Romans 6. So with that context of mind, or in your mind, of united, standing firm in the Spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, but not being frightened in any way, now we're ready for the text. So let's go to Ephesians 2, 1 to 2, with the Spirit in mind. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. What a text, guys. I want to examine the treasures in this text to renew our souls on a day of baptisms. Let's be reminded of Christ's baptism and the Spirit in the form of a dove coming down to Christ. There is encouragement from being united in Christ, and we're going to look at 5 points in this text to encourage our new brothers here today, but also the rest of us as we all walk with Christ. So follow me in verse 1 of chapter 2, and we see these different people, or different encouragements. So we have, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ. So the first encouragement is being united in Christ. Then to the second encouragement, comfort for his love. The third encouragement, common sharing in the Spirit. Now, in some Bible translations, this might say participation or fellowship of the Spirit. The fourth encouragement in this verse is encouragement in tenderness. Again, this might be translated as affection. The last encouragement is compassion. This might be translated as sympathy. See the depth here. So after all this depth of encouragement, these 5 great points, then we go to verse 2, and you will be completed by my joy by being in the like mind. Wow. So much packed into these lines. Paul wants you to see the joy, the glory of Christ through these different encouragements or experiences. But verse 2 continues, not only being in like-minded, but having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. So a question for you all, I hope you've been paying attention up to this point. Did you see the two unities in the 5 lines of text we've just read? So from chapter 27 of chapter 1 to the unity in chapter 2, verse 2. Let me explain. We have the unity of the one Spirit united together in the faith of the gospel, which we're obviously have in a fearless manner. Then chapter 2 opens up with this great therefore and this if clause. And then we have unity again in one spirit and one mind. I want to emphasize that therefore, before the if, it's probably better English to say therefore, since. As what do we read first? But if we have encouragement in Christ, well, we all know that's a given. He is our light, our Savior, and these gentlemen just gave their lives to Christ. So it's better to read, So it's therefore since we have encouragement in Christ, in comfort, in love, in participation with the Spirit, in tenderness and compassion. So the if here used in this verse is concrete and deliberate. So, Tom and Enoch, and all of those have been baptized that are here this morning, where are these five experiences coming from? Is it from God? Or is the text saying it's coming from Paul to us? No, very clearly, it is for the being in the Spirit and in Christ, so it's from God. Just as we used the full name of God earlier when I baptized these gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's break these encouragements down. So the first encouragement, we are in Christ. And baptism is a great example of being in Christ. Why? Because you die underneath this water. You're dying with Christ on the cross to be made anew as you're being resurrected through the water. Or an Old Testament example, the pre-incarnate Christ bringing the slaves through the Red Sea and the Exodus. So that's our first encouragement, being in Christ. The second encouragement comes in the comfort by being in Christ. So I want to take you to a different piece of scripture just to expand this further. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who comforts us in all our troubles? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Tom and Enoch's baptism is not only about their picture of salvation as demonstrated above, but it's also for the comfort of others. Think about how you all felt when this all happened. Think of the greatest commandment. It is to love the other. And God gives us this for those in trouble, so that we can love those in need and trouble. So this comfort that we get from the Lord is a strength. It's a key characteristic of a Christian that makes us different. Christians having that calm, controlled comfort in God. The world is burning. Everything is going to an absolute mess. And then we've got these little odd creatures that are shining people, and they're what they're doing? They're going around and calmly helping others. That is us. That's the comfort that we get from being in Christ. So back to Philippians 1:2. This comfort from God is in love for us. And in turn, in verse 2, the text is comfort is part of the experience in Christ that completes the joy that Paul celebrates about. As the text reads, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. This like-mindedness is in Christ. Third encouragement in this beautiful, beautiful verse. What about this participation in the Spirit? What does it mean? Well, we only get comfort when the Spirit draws us in. Let's read another verse in Philippians that uses participation or partnership or fellowship. And that's in Philippians chapter 1, 4-5. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This unity with the gospel. We read this earlier in chapter 1, verse 27. So through the gospel, we have the faith which has united us to Christ and the participation with the Spirit. This is what drew Tom and Enoch to this water behind me. It was their zeal and their questions for the gospel. This good news of salvation is only found in Christ. This God talking through the scriptures, reading the gospel in faith. This gospel of the ultimate good news created questions in you both, in your minds and hearts, but also gave encouragement to me, as Michael said earlier, in answering your questions, because I saw where this journey was going by the very nature of the Spirit you both had, the fellowship of the Spirit between us. And remember, Tom and Enoch, we developed that fellowship together in that room when we were reading the gospel together and that great book of Ephesians. The Spirit moved you to ask questions, gave you that zeal, or more specifically, that want for more knowledge. As a servant of Christ, I recognize the Holy Spirit and its power. And there's no surprise in me today that you now confess to today your love for Christ as Lord and Savior. The fourth encouragement in this beautiful verse, tenderness, or sometimes referred to in other translations as affection. What is Paul referring to here? Well, he talks about it in chapter 1:8 of Ephesians. Philippians. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. So this affection is the very encouragement that Christ speaks about us in the gospel. How we save sinners like this. Every time we think of the saving of a lost soul like me, as believers, we automatically, as Paul says, are complete in joy. We understand why we need to be in Christ. Because once we're in Christ, we have no fears. I love this verse in Matthew 9, when Christ sees the workers are few. But he's understanding, and you could see it almost in the scripture, where he's thinking about what's to come, this future kingdom. And he's preaching in the towns and villages and proclaiming the gospel, this unity of the good news which helps us all. And when he saw the crowds, the scripture says, he had an affection on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 9:36. The Lord has affection on Tom and Enoch as they were helpless without a shepherd. Perhaps the word encouragement is lacking after hearing that verse. Perhaps its life-saving is more accurate. As we see the Creator looking at the lost souls, only to humble himself to tell them the good news and heal them of sin. But Tom and Enoch, you now have a shepherd. And I urge you to listen to him. Listen to him in the scriptures. Learn to be in Christ in all that you do. Give thanks for this great honor in participating and being in fellowship in spirit with the Creator. The fifth encouragement, sympathy or compassion. The text here is interesting because the other experiences, if you look at it in your Bible, they all have an if before it. But in the Greek, the affection and sympathy are linked by the conjunction and. John Piper really helped me kind of going through this with the different encouragements. And he links affection and sympathy together in another one of Paul's letters in Colossians 3:12. Listen. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So this compassion or this sympathy is what we taste in Christ. This is the outworking of the Spirit that creates kindness in you, that creates humility in you, that creates gentleness in you, and most importantly, patience. All of the above, as Paul says in verse 2, completes the joy in you so that you can see the glory that is Christ. So let's try and summarize this. The common sharing or encouragement of the Spirit being in Christ is freedom from sin and death. That saving quality we spoke of in chapter 1. In righteousness, we are living according to the Spirit. Remember, we only stand in front of the Father in Christ's righteousness. In other words, being united in Christ's Spirit. If we are in the Spirit, we have no need for fleshly needs or desires. It's not that we don't feel these desires. Of course we do. But there are greater spiritual desires, like renewal this morning, and going through these encouragements, and seeing two men become new members and join the kingdom of God. Tom and Enoch getting baptized fulfills us in a way that is better than any fleshly desire, as the will is the love for another person. Two souls confessing Christ is their Savior. This is eternal life that Christ can only give, and in turn, we celebrate, as do the angels. And this is where the joy comes in. Then make joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and mind. Tom and Enoch, I hope you see the benefit of being in Christ. The same love of Christ being in one spirit and in one mind. Because times are going to come. Trials are going to come. And it's not all about joy, as I said earlier, but it's also about suffering. It's about sickness. It's about helping others on their journey that you now embark on. I said at the beginning, it's war and peace. It's life and death. The cloud of darkness will come. They will threaten. They will scare you. But by remaining in Christ, no one should fear. So going back to the darkness that surrounded me in Malta, the very difference now is that you're members of this gathering. This ecclesia, that beautiful Greek word, a church, the very body of Christ. We are not Christians that stand alone. Or as the phrase goes, the candle in the wind, as that light will fade. We all need to gather as a church in the body of Christ. We are individual lights, but together we create one light, and that's Christ's glory. The Spirit is power, but it's also the light of hope. Remember that Spirit shined in your hearts and convicted you of that sin. Just as you were convicted of your sin, as just as we were all convicted of our sin. John 16:7-11. And once your sin was convicted, you wanted to come to these waters, to the Exodus, or the safety of Noah's Ark, both types and examples of baptism. The Spirit is the lamp, the light, the illumination of God's Word. It's the Holy Spirit whom we pray for before coming to this pulpit. The Spirit is teaching us all right now, as the very Spirit which taught me in writing this sermon. It shows what can be true, showing it to be precious. And that's why, Tom and Enoch, you had that zeal, that deep wanting of learning more about Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:6-16. We had a double dose of it today. The Spirit throws a spotlight on Christ so that we can see His glory and be changed and made anew. Or it's more aptly said in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unrevealed faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the Spirit is a light to us in three ways. It's a light to us to expose sin. It allows the Word to be seen and heard, even for those deaf among the sinners. The Spirit takes the veil away so we can see this glory of Christ, the very joy Paul speaks of in verse 2. The Spirit is the revelation of sin. It's the revelation of truth. It's a revelation of glory. So you may ask, so why do people fail? It is because they resist the Spirit, Acts 7:51. It's because they quench the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Or they grieve the Spirit, in Ephesians 4:30. They don't give the Holy Spirit time. I'm too busy on this earthly life. Tom and Enoch, it was the great journey of Ephesians that brought us here today. 3 weeks we discussed the pros and cons, the path of wrath or the narrow road of joy and suffering. And we'll end with Paul, one chapter later, in Philippians 3:17. And he says, join together and follow my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. It is godliness that God is looking for. I ask you to listen to this last piece of scripture and use this church family, talk and ask your new brothers and sisters who live as you do. They are all in different parts of their life or their journey with the Lord, but they're your family in Christ. And for your growth, you need to be around Christians. And remember, the best specimen of a Christian is clearly portrayed today in Philippians. It is the one that is growing by the Spirit into the likeness of Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads and just go to the Lord. Oh Lord, hallowed be your name. We thank you for seeing this light. But Lord, may we go back to our houses today with a message. A message of getting to know Christ in the Scriptures. Praying over it. Meditating over it. Meditating over the Word with the Holy Spirit. And not be afraid to pray that the Holy Spirit helps me in reading the wisdom of the Word. May we, Lord, may we as a body of believers be united with you in faith in the gospel. May we see these great encouragements that we've just read in Philippians so we can be that light to others. Oh Lord, especially to those lost souls around us. We have them in our family. We have them in our friends. We have them in our work colleagues, and we do pray for them this morning. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We're going to be upstanding now for the next song.